Basically, these are countries which do not have the capacity to deal with the sort of problems they are facing. If you take, for example, Burkina Faso, more than 1,200 health centers have been closed. 780,000 people are displaced as we speak. Just look at how quickly this has happened. At January 2019, there were about 50,000 people displaced in Burkina Faso. By the end of 2019, the number has gone up to 560,000. 3 months later, we're at 780,000. And on top of this comes COVID. Health facilities are among the poorest in the world. And we, the World Food Program, have been feeding these vulnerable and desperate populations who are living in camps, makeshift camps, and with local communities. And on top of all this comes COVID. And we have to adapt our programs and our operation to be COVID sensitive. First and foremost, for our own staff and the staff of our partners, we have a duty of care to ensure that they are protected and also they do not become vectors to bring the coronavirus into these communities.
Right, but what are the families telling you? These are farmers, these are herders. What are they saying? Why are they leaving their homes? Is it the insecurity, the violent extremists that are driving them out?
Yeah, they are running away from conflict. Many of them, herders, farmers, have had to abandon their fields and take whatever little they have and to move further south in Burkina, for example, to find some measure of safety for the women and children.
And presumably as the month of June comes along, that's the beginning of the lean season, they won't have any crops and presumably their cattle they may have sold off already as some sort of coping mechanism if they're running short on supplies of food.
That is exactly the situation. People have already nothing and are depending on the little food that the World Food Program is giving them today. Come June, at the start of the lean season, you know, whatever little some might have had would have already been used up and gone. And this is what is keeping me up at night, because we are not getting the contributions we need to be able to provide for these people. We need desperately to raise $205 million in order to cover the needs between April and September, you know, which is right in the smack in the lean season that begins in June. With the impact of the COVID, our operations are even getting more expensive because we have to set up distributions in a way that is sensitive to ensuring that we do not become agents or vectors for COVID-19 to be transmitted to this population.
And I understand, George, that one of those measures, the COVID-19 measures, is that you don't have more than 50 people gathering at one time to get their food rations. So how do they feel? How do you explain that to them? Presumably, they're sometimes not very happy at all about being excluded from the distribution points.
Well, we use community radio systems, community leaders to sensitize them to it, that it is not so much a question of not getting their food rations. It's just that given that we can only assemble 50 people at a time, it's going to take a little bit longer to get to everybody. And so we have to set up more distribution points. We have to ensure that there's adequate water, soap, masks for people to wash their hands to protect themselves and etc. And all this is making the operations more costly, more complex, and also more critical. What I want the world to know is that we need to be vigilant and yet persistent, because these people are depending on the little that they get from us. And without it, when we get to the peak of the COVID infection in these parts of Africa, the Sahel, for example, things could go really bad if already you have populations who are immunocompromised because of insufficient food. Food and good nutrition is going to be an important arsenal in the fight against COVID. So I wish and pray that the world pays attention to the Central Sahel. We need to establish humanitarian corridors so that humanitarian workers, experts, medical supplies, and other general supplies can come in. We need money.
And where do you need these humanitarian corridors from and to, Chris?
We have to negotiate with countries like Senegal, Ghana, Togo, etc., and also into the countries themselves. Because as you know, today, as we speak, Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, etc., have completely closed their borders. And we need to engage at the highest levels so that notwithstanding the mitigation measures that governments have put in place, that they open these humanitarian corridors so assistance can continue to come to the people. What the world needs to remember is that unlike 1920, 100 years ago, today the world is completely interconnected. If countries such as the countries of the Central Sahel are not assisted in this desperate time of need to combat COVID, it's just a matter of time and we will see a second wave of COVID-19 infections again in Europe, in the Americas, etc. This time coming from the Central Sahel and other parts of Africa. We have to see the needs of the Sahel as also completely linked with the needs and the interest in the donor countries.